Hey, Chad, do you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what'd you think of Johnny English?
Well, your streak begins anew.
Ha ha ha.
I like it.
One in the bank.
One in the bank. Now, this, so much fun wrapped up in a tight running time that didn't overstay. Let's talk about what's happening in the movie and then we'll...
Fair enough. For those of you just joining us, welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Every couple of weeks, Chad and I challenge and recommend movies to each other that the other has not seen. We watch it, we talk about it, ultimately decide to stay friends afterwards, and I hope that stays the same.
So far.
So far, yes. So this week we're talking about the 2003 spy comedy Johnny English, starring Rowan Atkinson, John Malkovich, and Natalie Imbruglia.
Right.
So the movie is your typical spy comedy. You have Atkinson playing Johnny English, a kindly but clumsy, buffoonish MI7 agent. Through ineptitude on his part, Agent One passes away, and at the funeral, all the other agents get blown up.
That is a true thing.
He was also on security detail for that, so... There's a plot to steal the crown jewels. English is the only one left, so he gets put on the case.
Yep.
The crown jewels are stolen. They track down who the actual thieves were, figure out who it has a tie to, which is John Malkovich's character, Pierre Pascal Sauvage. Yes, Pascal Sauvage. He is actually somewhere in the many lines of people who would inherit the throne should everybody else die.
Yep, he's down there, but he's on it.
Yeah, he's down there, but he's on it. English believes that he is the one behind this, and sure enough, he is. He's the one that masterminded, and they tell this like in the middle of the film.
Right.
The first third. So yeah, you know who the bad guy is.
This isn't a whodunit.
No, this is a James Bond-esque movie. You know who the bad guy is. Sauvage orchestrated the theft of the crown jewels, and the plan is to have a fake Archbishop of Canterbury crown him king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, through the continued presence of English, that plan has to be abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically forces the queen to abdicate the throne and all of her family, thus leaving him the only one in charge, or the next in line. The crown jewels are returned, and he's going to do it the right way?
Well, I mean, if you can call threatening a corgi the right way.
Yes. And his ultimate plan is to turn England into a penal colony for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Evict everybody, open up all the prisons in the world and dump them in England because it is a backwards country compared to everybody else.
Okay.
That's his...
We're just going to say that that's a great 2003 thing to say.
Yes. It is a great 2003 thing to say. In the end, Johnny foils the plan, and he actually gets crowned king for a moment. He falls on the throne right as they're about to lay the crown and say, "I declare this man king." It's Johnny. He has Sauvage arrested after he's already kind of shown his ass on live television around the world. Mm-hmm. So now nobody likes him. He gives the throne back to the queen. He's knighted. He and Natalie Imbruglia's character, who have had a love interest blossoming, go off to the south of France, and she is ejected out of the car accidentally as they're kissing.
Yep.
It's a comedy of errors on Rowan Atkinson's part, his character.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Bean has been given MI7 clearance.
And a voice.
And a voice, yes.
What confused me about it? So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Stakeout and the competence issue.
Yes.
And so we get the sense that he's bumbling fool.
Yes.
And then there's a scene in an apartment a little bit later where he's shown to not be a bumbling fool. You know, it's not like it's an air that he puts on, but it's like, okay, so underneath that, there is competence. It's just somewhere his desire to be Agent One.
Yes.
Has made him not into the agent he should be.
Exactly. He has the training. He knows his stuff. It's his own personality that's getting in the way.
It's like a combination of inferiority complex and superiority complex.
Yes.
Like he feels inferior to the Agent One, the field agents, but he feels superior to everyone else because he's had this training.
Yes. it almost, in a real world scenario, he would be a great sleeper agent where you say something and his subconscious takes over and he does the job.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody would suspect him because he is a bumbling kind of goofball.
Yeah. But it is also Rowan Atkinson doing the bumbling goofball stuff, which somehow adds not just charm, but legitimacy into it. He's so earnest in his depiction of this character.
Yes.
You know, and you can see the character work itself out, you know, through the movie, you know, when the female agent will compliment him or whatnot, or ask him a question, and you see him look completely terrified and confused and then put on the face of the confident agent and just, yes, I love sashimi. I practically live on the stuff. You know,
I didn't think people would eat sea urchin. Most people are turned off by the fact that they
eat from their bottoms. And he eats it. He's just,
bleh.
But there's so many. It's a collection of scenes strung together.
Yes.
Which is what a movie is. You know, that's, I'm not saying anything, you know, radical here. I love the competent incompetence of his character, who knows how to drive, you know, knows how to drive the souped up Aston Martin.
Yeah.
You know, and can do the maneuvers and so forth, and then gets caught, you know, in the ridiculous scenario of having it towed because he parked in no parking zone.
Yes.
And so now he's swinging off of a crane on a truck that's driving around.
Yeah.
You know, the absolute smooth, you know, vocal inflections when he thinks he's caught the undertakers who have the crown jewels at the cemetery.
Yes.
You know, and everything is very arrogant almost in his portrayal, until the point that he finds out that he's messed up, and then it's just
then his assistant comes up and makes up this cockamamie scheme of he was released from the sanitarium early, my apologies, and he just goes along with it.
Those were the two choices: was go along with it or get fired.
Yeah, but I mean he's incompetent, but then competent enough to know I need to do this.
Yeah. So this is a straight up watch it.
Yes.
You know, it's Johnny. I mean, it's Rowan Atkinson.
Yes.
You know, I look forward to, you know, Johnny English Strikes Back and Johnny English, you know.
Reborn.
Okay.
Yeah, Reborn and then Strikes Again.
Oh, Strikes Again. Sorry, I was getting into the Dark Knight stuff. Rowan Atkinson as the Dark Knight does appeal to me, but probably not for the same reasons.
I am the Knicket.
You know, the thing is that Rowan Atkinson, like 20, 25 years ago, would have made an excellent Bruce Wayne for a 1960s revival.
Yes.
You're just flat out.
Yep.
Things that we could have had. If only they had, you know, us 20 years ago.
Well, we were around 20 years ago, just nobody was listening to us.
Well, we weren't talking about this
either. We weren't
either.
Talking about this either,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Well. Well, 20 years ago, we also thought the 60s Batman series would never come to DVD or Blu-ray outside
true.
Of bootleg because of all the special...
And look where we are now.
Look where we are now. Look where we might be in another 20 years.
Exactly. Maybe they already filmed it and they just can't release it.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that just be a surprise? It's the 60s Batman, but it's Batman Beyond. It's all like... So it's all Adam West has done all of the old Bruce stuff now. And we're just waiting for the Terry McGinnis, you know, to show up. A duly deputized.
A duly deputized, yes.
Batman. Oh, you know that... There's probably somebody's made a movie about this.
There's
a fan-made movie somewhere.
Absolutely.
Oh, and if not, there should be. Somebody get on that.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we'll post it on the website.
Yeah.
If it's good. So, or if it's acceptably bad.
Yes. We have a wide margin of error.
We don't have a bright, shiny line. We've got a blurry desert. Yeah, see it. I mean, it's a fun movie. It's not a thinker, but if you don't watch it, you'll miss jokes.
Yes.
There's a lot of sight gags going on, a lot of facial expressions, a lot of reactions
to
things going on. So could you be doing something else? Yeah, but you really shouldn't.
It's in your best interest to watch it, especially when they do a close-up of Atkinson, just to watch his facial reactions to the situation he's gotten himself in.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Naked Gun series like that. There are so many jokes on screen at any given time that if you're not watching it consistently, like straight through, the next time you watch the movie, it's going to have different scenes in it that you suddenly be like, I don't remember that at all.
The difference between the Naked Gun is a straight up parody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking to the audience.
Oh, right.
The Naked Gun is a straight up parody. This is more a
comedic homage.
Comedic homage or a satire of it. It takes itself seriously enough to where there aren't silly gags and puns every 30 seconds.
Yes. But you've still got a lot of jokes per second.
But it also knows it's a comedy.
Yes. Yes.
So, so that would be a C from both of us.
Absolutely.
So I think it's your turn.
I'll come up with something.